This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it's day two at Fector's Finger Flicking Frolic, and we're about to get in the elevator with one of the guests of honor, Danny De Ortiz. Hello there, Danny.
Hello, guys.
Or hola, I guess, is it? So this is exciting because we're actually having three people as the guests of honor. We typically just have one. So how long have you known you were going to be the guests of honor?
Wow, I don't know, but you know what is important in this convention?
What's that important?
For the fat guys?
What's that?
Food and sleep.
Food and sleep. Have you been getting plenty of both, or just the one, or the other?
No.
Yeah, well, they got lots of food, donuts and pizza and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was in Denny's. And pizza, too.
Pizza, yeah, that's right.
Now,
that's right.
Listen, food, magic, sleep, and in this order.
Food, magic, and sleep. That's the three important ingredients of life, the things that are most important.
And do magic with the food also is good. Nah, the magic is beautiful. The magic and the friendship. This is the more important thing in any convention.
That's right. Well, this is a great one, of course, with being able to see people and make new friends and spend a lot of time here then, too.
This is the magic, the people, the friendship. This is the real magic.
Yeah.
No the cards, no the coin, the friendship. This is the best.
Yeah. And now, what number convention is this for you? How many have you been four at?
Today?
Yeah.
This is I don't know. Maybe this is the fourth or the fourth? Five
okay.
In 30 years?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't remember. But maybe.
Yeah.
You tell me a number. Sure, you get.
Well, your lecture is tonight.
I guess so.
So all three are going to be doing it tonight. All right. Well, we're off the elevator. That's very good. I got to run upstairs. Thanks again,
Danny. We vanish.
Okay, that's right. We'll see you later.
Thank you,
everybody. For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Danny De Ortiz. Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com and another elevator conversation. Miguel Gaya, one of the Fat Brothers. Hey, guys.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. So I just talked with Danny just a moment ago, and you guys are excited about tonight?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. You got some good stuff to teach?
Yes.
Okay. It's going to be what, an hour and a half?
I don't know, 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours, okay. Mostly cards?
And coins.
In coins?
Hello. Yes, what?
So you're excited. Have a good time.
Ah, me too.
Yes. Thanks Bye. Again. Bye-bye. All right. Scott Wells with MagicWordPodcast.com. And I am here with Mark D'Souza because we just finished a lecture by a South Korean gentleman named Lucas.
Lucas,
and
wonderful.
He was, what do you think then, Mark?
Fabulous. I have Lucas's DVDs. He has a whole DVD series.
Before he even got here.
Yeah. This is a couple of years ago. My first love in magic is manipulation.
I know.
I started in stage manipulation.
And you had won the Sam?
Sam and IBM gold
doing
medal.
Stage.
Yeah. I was a gold medal finalist and competed at FISM.
And even you got a DVD
twice.
That you were teaching a couple of
I've
ball
got
and tone
several
and all.
Different, yeah. Yeah, so it's always interesting for me to see the Koreans techniques because they're very, very different, style. He did a great job teaching the stuff. You know, English is not his native language. He did a great job, and you know, before the lecture, I said to a friend of mine, I said, I may be the only person in the room that can appreciate this, but I think the close-up guys ate it up because they saw that this is difficult stuff to do, but they see they applaud the skill as well as the thinking behind it and a different style
right.
Where it's a slower, more deliberate, more visual style. And he talked not only about the technique, but he talked about the presentation, showing the contrast of the old style.
The classic.
Exactly. Versus the newer style from a couple of years ago, the little speed demons.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But this is a slower, more deliberate style, very visual and very effective.
Well, he was, for an example, talking about something in which the gravity was involved with some things that work, and so when you're moving your scarf, it should move the same pace as gravity, as opposed to being too fast
exactly.
Or too slow.
And it's interesting because, I mean, it's basically a variation on the Silent Mora drop banish, which we all know is the Vernon Wan spin, which actually came from Silent Mora. But to do it with a silk, it's more natural, and it's slower, it's softer, and actually much more deceptive.
Yeah, right. And then I like his ideas on the Miser's Dream.
Miser's Dream is a great idea.
That was a great idea.
Yeah.
You think we could share that?
Yeah, well, I think he's taking a gimmick that was similar to the gimmick that Mikame, Yonezu Mikame, developed, but he modified it, added to it, so that now he's got a bucket that he can show empty.
Portable.
And then he can show his hands empty, and the gimmick is holding these coins in place. It's shifting around in an unseen, natural manner.
Yeah.
And then he even added something else where, you know, he can create a shower of coins in the end with an added gimmick. And it's all stuff that, you know, you can make yourself. I mean,
right.
It's very cool stuff.
Well, and that was another thing that I really enjoyed. It reminded me a little bit of then Sean Farquhar whenever that he would lecture. He said, and here's another idea. And
right.
In other words, that he doesn't stop thinking. He's
right.
Got one thing.
He just builds and builds and builds on the germ of an idea that he develops. There's also, Levent is the same way.
Yeah.
You know, you see the progression of an idea and a routine into a working piece.
Right. No, yeah. I thought it was very good as well.
Yeah, his ball work, his billiard ball work is just superb. And, you know, the idea that he had with the black hole and the idea he had with the what he called the optical illusion, you know, I think somebody can take that and do something with it. The techniques are, you know, now traditional Asian technique. It's, you know, came from Japan, the double shell techniques and stuff. And, you know, they're just running with it.
So for convention organizers who might be looking for somebody, this is somebody you may not have seen or heard of, but I think that once you book this guy, you'll be glad you did.
Absolutely, as long as you pay the airfare from Korea.
Yeah. Or if he happens to be over here for some other...
This is the first time at 4F, but he had actually lectured. He had done a mini lecture at the I think it was SAM-IBM combined in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. They had an Asian afternoon where I think six of the Korean performers all did like mini lectures, and Lucas was one of them.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Well,
great. But if anybody likes this kind of stuff, you should look up his DVDs. He has two sets of DVDs, and I think each set is a double DVD set, one on cards and balls, the other one on candles and wands. And what he did here is just scratching the surface of this stuff.
They're
incredibly detailed, really, really good stuff. And like you said, he's one of the professors at the Korean Magic University. So these younger performers are all looking to him for guidance.
Right. And that's Lucas, Lukas.
That's correct. He has a website, Lucas Magic, but it's kind of difficult to order off of it. Yeah. It's all in Korean.
Yeah.
So if you got somebody, you know, who's Korean, they can help you out and probably...
Well, I will also say for those who might be interested in seeing him or booking for a lecture that he does speak very good English.
His English is excellent.
Yeah.
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 He really communicates his ideas well. Although we should tell him that it's a bucket, not a basket.
Not a basket. But yeah. The miser's dream is in a bucket. Exactly. Mark, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Scotty, always.
And for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Mark D'Souza. This is Scotty out. All right, well, we just finished with the lecture with Lucas, and just talked to Mark D'Souza about the lecture then, too. And I'm here now with the editor of the Magic Circuit, or just to kind of show you the international appeal and talent that we have, and that is Will Houston. Hey, Will.
Hey, how are you?
Fantastic. What did you think of the lecture, by the way?
It's great.
Yeah.
Great. Lots of interesting stuff. It's kind of interesting to go, there seem to be a group of people who are saying these are the classical effects of manipulation, but let's not worry too much about how everyone else has done them for the last 100 years, and just figure out the best way to make it look as good as possible.
Right.
And there seems to be an awful lot of some novel innovative thinking that's rather exciting to see.
It was, and even though, for an example, the billiard ball is not something you would apply to a close-up routine, it's the thinking, I think, that goes into that that might apply to saying, okay, well, I can do something else with coins instead of...
Yeah, and there's never any harm to knowing more stuff. So.
No, expanding your knowledge in magic, I think that's very true. I like to know about black art. I may not use it much, you know, but it can apply to close-up or other kinds of things.
Well, so. Professor Hoffman published it first and said that it was developed by Professor Hartz in connection with tables. So it's my black art tip.
Well, you have done a whole lot of background on the history of magic and got a couple of books out, more than a couple. Didn't you get your graduate degree in...
Yep, I have a PhD based on Victorian magic literature, specifically Professor Hoffman, and his impact on the world of conjuring.
And your book was your thesis for it, basically? Or?
No, the books are entirely separate. One is about a late 18th century manuscript in the Magic Circle's collection that describes card magic and is unusual in that it's a book written by a magician for himself, whereas most of the material that's around at the time is written by people to sell to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at most of their books, it would be like looking at, I don't know, know, a Penn and Teller book of magic today and going, that's the state of the current art of magic, when clearly there's a little bit more around.
Sure.
But when we look back historically, mm-hmm. you tend to make the assumption that these things in books must be what people are doing. And in fact, it's just what they were willing to tell the public about. And then the second one was about a guy called Professor Hellis, who was around in the late Victorian period, and he gave lessons to people like Professor Hoffman, and therefore had a huge impact on the way the magic's developed in the last 150 or so years.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as being the editor of the Magic Circular, I wanted to talk with you just about some of the things that have been going on with the Magic Circle and what's happening. Recently, of course, they just had the death of Paul Daniels, and I'm sure that was most unexpected. When I was just talking, in fact, with Simon Lovell recently, which I'm going to be having in an upcoming podcast soon.
Right.
So he was saying that I guess he gave a lecture on the same night with Paul Daniels, and that at the time that he didn't
know
about
that. Around
a
year ago, I think it was.
Yeah.
Something
mm-hmm.
like that. But very sudden. It seems to have been a very bad beginning to a year.
Right.
As far as well-known and well-liked magicians are concerned.
And so did you devote an issue or talk a lot about him then in the recent circular?
We've done obituaries and so forth, and I guess the thing is finding out what's going to happen as a tribute, but that's probably something that can happen later on,
right,
rather than something that needs to happen immediately.
Yep.
Well, the immediate time is a time for family and all of this
sort
of thing, rather than me trying to get a cover story.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yes. And speaking of the circle, then tell me what's new.
So the thing that I have got for a cover story is recently a blue plaque was unveiled.
Okay.
So within England, there's a society, the Blue Plaque Trust, and they put up blue plaques on various buildings to commemorate important things.
Mm-hmm.
So you might find one mentioning that this is this famous person's place, or this famous writer maybe lived here at this time to this time, and so on. And the Magic Circle now has one. So it's in Wardour Street, just slightly north of Leicester Square, near the entrance to Chinatown, and it's on a restaurant that used to be called Pinoli's, which was where the Magic Circle was founded.
Mm-hmm.
23 magicians met there in early June 1905, and they discussed the idea of a magic club. It started as the Martin Chapander Magic Society, but then came the Magic Circle later on, which is perhaps a slightly catchier name, and now, a little bit over 100 years later, we have a blue plaque commemorating that this is the location in which the Magic Circle was founded.
Yeah. You know, speaking of over 100 years or so, that the 4F is a great convention. It's very close, near and dear to my heart, having attended this so many times, and there's so many other good conventions, but among the top conventions that I have attended that really have to say is the best was the centenary that we had at the Circle, because it was before TED Talks were doing TED Talk kind of things, where people were talking about stuff and they weren't just tricks. And they sat down, I remember, and had discussions like with David Berglas or with John Calvert and Paul, not Paul Daniels, but my mind just went blank. Anyhow, just a lot of different people. It was a great convention.
Mm.
Is there anything that they plan on doing in the future that's going to be, the Circle having some sort of a convention?
We've got a little while before we have another centenary to worry about, I suppose. But certainly the Monday night stuff that's always ongoing is always developing, and more there are being extra little events surrounding it. So I suppose traditionally, if I'm thinking back 5 years or something, you went to the Magic Circle on a Monday night, either for the lecture or to hang around and chat.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now you go to a Monday night and you're likely to have examinations, or you have a small hands-on magic session before you go to the main lecture, or there's someone discussing favorite books in the library, and so it's becoming much more an entire evening in which there's a social element, there's a chance to use facilities like libraries and museums and archives and so on, there's a lecture, but there's probably also a little thing where someone's teaching a hands-on session to a smaller group of people. So it's much more an evening that's comprised of small events, and lots of them.
So
a little bit like a convention every week.
It is kind of a mini convention every week, That sounds like a lot of fun then, sir.
Spoiled.
Anything new that you can tell us is coming up in the circular? I know a lot of stuff surprising. I know.
Circular stuff surprising. I guess the blue plaque is the thing that I can mention.
That's a big thing, of course.
Because that'll be on the way in the not-too-distant future.
Okay.
I suspect people can guess that may be happening.
Yeah.
But certainly I've got another 5 or 6 things lined up for the rest of the year already.
Right.
And hopefully members will find them interesting when they read them.
Now, the Magic Circular, of course, is not like several other magazines in which you're dependent upon advertising, because it's a house journal.
It's a membership thing
that pays for it. So, but it seems that it is still smaller than fewer pages than what it used to be, or is that my imagination?
Nope. Magic Circle is bigger than it's ever been, and it's also in full color, which it hasn't been historically. So, it's bigger,
actually growing,
glossier,
then, rather than
all in color.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So Genie may have grown at a larger rate, as they tend to stick in an extra, whatever, 32 pages or something every now and then. Yeah. And our magazine is 32 pages. so it's certainly smaller than Magic and Genie is, but it's not shrinking. It's not going backwards.
Well, that's right, because you don't have, it's not packed with a lot of advertising and everything. I mean, there are some. But
yeah, there are a few adverts, but essentially it's content-based rather than ad-based.
It's an excellent magazine. Got a lot of really good writers and everything that's in there then, too. I enjoy
very grateful to all the people who send me stuff. It's always appreciated, and they all do a really good job.
And if people want to send you articles for publication, where can they reach you?
They can reach me, editor@themagiccircle.co.uk. But the one thing to bear in mind is it is very much a membership magazine. So if you have a great article about something that's going on in a local IBM ring, then maybe that doesn't quite have the connection to the circular that I need in a way that Magic or Genie doesn't. So it does have its own agenda, but this is the kind of thing that I'm always very pleased to have people writing to me saying, hey, you're interested in this, and then find out whether I am or not, whether it can work or not, how we can twist it and make it work. And if we can't, there's almost always something else that's interesting connected that can be done.
That's great. Good. Now, I always like to ask people who have been attending this about how many conventions they've attended. How many 4F conventions do you know approximately? Have you been here that dozen times?
I am not entirely sure. I know the first three times I came I did shows, and then the fourth time I came I did a lecture, and I think there have been another three or four since, maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, more than five, less than 10. Yeah. Certainly less than 100.
Yeah. You got a long way to go. You're doing a very good job, by the way. I just want to give you a pat on the back also as the editor, and certainly enjoy that. So keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very also for talking with us and for the Magic Word Podcast. That was Will Houston. This is Scotty L. All right, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just finished the afternoon show, which was friends and what was it? I got Marietta with Hey Marietta. Sorry,
friends old and new. I think
that was it. Old friends and old new. Now you're going to be an MC. By the way, Gary Morton was the MC this afternoon and did a great job.
He did absolutely keeping it tight, keeping the show moving. It was great.
Yeah,
and I thought Joe Reinfleisch brought the house down. He got a standing ovation.
He
just doing rubber band magic that floored everybody. It was amazing.
All original stuff.
Yeah, and Miguel Gia was fabulous. Some of the coin moves that he did just went over people's heads. It was just amazing to watch.
Yeah, and that goes back to what this the core of the convention is, close-up. And that's both of what those guys did. It was very extreme close-up.
Exactly. It was perfect. Yeah. It was perfect.
And, of course, Miguel, not having strong English skills, was still able to come across because of the visuals.
So but he's a pro. He's never going to let you down. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And the other guy, I forget his name, from Spain, who did the thing with the five cards. Everybody was raving about. I don't remember, but he did the ace through 3, 4, 5, and they changed the order over and over really slowly.
It was kind of like an oil and water type of an effect, but different, just with five cards.
Yeah, no, it's actually, I think, a Vernon effect, but he did it beautifully, and I think he fooled most of the people in the room.
Yeah, me as well. You know, I'm sitting in the back, and it was... and by the way, one of the things I think that's kind of interesting this year, they have larger monitors, so you can see things a lot better.
And crystal clear. It's the best. I think it's the best video system I've seen at a Magic convention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went all out after everybody complained last year. I guess.
Well, Obi's very proud of this.
Yes,
you know,
he is,
I'm sure that they spend a little extra dollars. You know, trying to make.
No, but Jimmy C is a perfectionist. He does a fabulous job, and he tries to improve it every single year. He's great that way.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. And let's see. Again, you're going Friday night. So.
Friday night show. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah. You got some things
in spite of the MC.
And you've done this before several
many
times.
I think the Friday night show I've been emceeing for a good maybe 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
And before that, I've emceed other shows.
And you used to be on the Saturday night shows.
Yeah, Saturday. I did. I've been 35 out of the last 36 years I've been here.
Yeah.
I think I've performed on every one except one, and it's almost always different material. So it's always a challenge, always fun.
Yeah, well, you always do a great job. Thank you very much, Mary.
Thanks.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Mary Yedid. This is Scotty out. Well, we are nearing the end of the second day of the 4F convention, and just finished with the Fat Brothers lecture, which was pretty fantastic. A lot of really great ideas, each of them doing a little bit more than a half hour. Actually, I think that one did a half hour, next one did 40 minutes, next one like an hour, and it was all really good stuff. But I've got with me Mike Stratman. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Hello.
I thought I would just ask him a few questions, too, being a convention organizer, as you are, of other conventions. I mean, not just the IBM as a co-convention chairman and other past IBM conventions, but also Winter Carnival and different things you've been involved in. So how's this one going? You've been to a lot of these 4F conventions too, so how's it going?
This one's going great. So far, the talent's been excellent. Tonight, just couldn't beat. I mean, the three fat boys, especially... Well, all three of them, really. I mean, it's you can't hardly pick one over.
And they're all different.
Yeah, they're all different. And so hopefully the rest of it will be as good as it has been.
You can see the influence of Tamara's, I think, on a lot of their stuff, you know. And they kept referring to him also, you know, in that as well. And this afternoon we had the British Gala. What was something that stood out for you in that?
Oh, Keith Fields.
Yep, closed the act.
Closed the act and... Well, just a good closer. That's all there is.
Yeah.
There were other good acts, too.
But he used good comedy and really finished on a high note.
That's exactly right,
And he used Gene Anderson as a dummy, which was pretty funny. So anything else?
Well, not necessarily.
I mean, everything was just kind of good.
Everything kind of gets fuzzy after two after 2 days, but it's a great convention. Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell us about the IBM convention, since kind of working on that, and how's that shaping up?
IBM is going to be great. We're in San Antonio, one of the most prominent cities we've been to for years.
Great convention city.
Great convention city. We're in a brand new hotel. It was just built about 5 years ago. We were lucky we could book the hotel while they were in the construction business, so we got a real good room rate. Sean Farquhar has been our talent guy. He's got a lineup you can't believe as far as the talent. So I think it'll be great. Everybody needs to come on down to San Antonio. I would like to mention that the rooms are tight down there as far as before and after the convention. If you want to book the convention, you go on the website. You'll have to book from July 2nd on. If you book July 1st, they'll say there's no rooms.
It'll kick you out, say nothing for the whole period.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Saturday because it starts the 2nd through the 5th.
Right. And nothing will be going on until the 2nd, so you won't miss anything by coming in on the 2nd. Love to see you all down there, and we're looking for a great crowd and a great convention. We've twisted things around a little bit to make it a little bit more interesting this year. You'll see some things you haven't seen at our previous conventions. And well, that's about all I can say, I guess, for right now.
Yeah, except the website. What is the website link?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's right on the tip of your tongue there. I'm asking you. I don't remember either.
Well, I go to magician.org to start with, and then it'll throw you to...
I want to say like IBMconvention.com or something, but I'm not sure.
It's something like that. But if you're not sure, go to magician.org and it'll say convention website, and you click on it. You'll have all the information. The schedule's on there. The performers, most of them are on there. And information on the hotel. You can register for the hotel. If you haven't registered for the convention, you can pull up a registration form on the website and register.
And you had told me earlier this afternoon about the importance of making sure that they get their hotel reservations in before the 1st of July or mid-June or when is
that? Mid-June, yes. Our cutoff date for the with the hotel where they will hold the rooms for us is the 16th of June. Now, if there's still rooms available after that, you can get them at the regular convention rate. But by the same token, if the hotel wants to sell them to somebody else and they're not available, then you won't be able to get the rooms.
Right, so you better get them now.
Yeah, get them now, yeah. The earlier you can register for San Antonio, the better off you're going to be.
It really is a great convention city, certainly, that you can come before the convention and stay after because they've got Fiesta Texas that's nearby and SeaWorld, which is in San Antonio, of course, downtown Alamo and everything else. And this is right in the heart of Alamo City, right?
Just
a block from the Alamo, actually.
Right. The location is terrific. The theater is attached to the hotel, so if it's pouring down rain, you won't get wet.
Or if it's hot and humid, you don't have to get out in the heat.
You don't have to get out in the heat. We're right on the river walk. You can actually catch one of the river boat rides right there at the hotel if you want to do that. You're across the street from the River Center Mall, I believe they call it. Anyway, it's the biggest mall they have downtown.
Shopping and food court and all that, it's just a...
Yeah. Plenty of food courts around and eating places in the mall. So, to me, it's a great location. It's got... The facilities are great. The theater's a beautiful civic center-type theater. And... So it should just shape up to be a real pleasant
convention
yeah. and experience for
everybody. And again, for young and old alike, this is a convention city that is a destination that a lot of people will go, even if there's not a convention. But here you got magic, and so what more do you want?
Right. And, you know, that's the way we ended up booking convention there, because I went to San Antonio because I wanted to go to San Antonio as a destination city. Mm-hmm. And we were there looking around, and I saw this new hotel going up, and I thought, well, we ought to see if we can get a convention book there. And fortunately, we did.
Got a good deal. And as far as some of the talent, I know that there are a lot of great acts that are booked for that. And Sean Farquhar, as you said, has got a lot of things. One of the evening shows I'm excited about is the Penn & Teller Foolish Show Night, in which that he's going to be having himself, which he had been on there and then fooled them, and he's got some of the other guys who are friends who likewise had won the awards.
Right.
So,
plus, in addition to that, we'll be honoring Johnny Thompson, and Johnny and Pam will both be there, and I guess it's opening night. We have a special program.
Saturday night, July 2nd.
And they'll be featuring them, honoring them. So I think that's great, because between the both of them, they're two of the greatest people.
Living and magicians.
Living magicians and nice people. Everybody loves the Thompsons.
Yep. Well, that'll be great. And, again, you should go to magician.org, and there'll be a link there that'll take you where you need to go to the right website to get linked up, get registered, and all the rest of the information. So, good. Mike Stratman, thank you very much.
Yeah. And I would like to say that Scott's also the co-chairman on this. So if the convention's great, Stratman did it.
Yeah, I'll be the fall guy. Yeah. It's okay. Big shoulders. Thanks, Mike.
You're
doing
welcome.
A great job. Yeah. Talk to you later. And for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty out.